It's I know some of you have already gotten tired of having to say that, to people that it's already a couple weeks in. What are we doing? For me, the point of measurement of no longer saying Happy New Year is when I'm already accustomed to writing 2018, and so that sometimes takes a while. Anybody have any trouble with that? Every year, right? I'm writing the new year, always going back to the old, and that's clearly my dilemma in that scenario. But let me pray. God, I just thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity, this new year, this beautiful, beautiful Sunday, Lord, that we're able to gather together, to come together in your word, with your fellowship of your saints, Lord. We just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. And we ask you, God, to help us to open our hearts, our minds, to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been 2 weeks since I was last with you guys, and just excited about this coming year. There's a lot of things that people are excited about as far as what's to come. One of the biggest things that I wanted to focus on was that, you see, 2017, for those that have followed by any means this word, the year of Jubilee, but a lot of people would say, well, the year of Jubilee, for those that know what it means, a year of blessing, it's every 50 years according to the Jewish calendar. Now, it started in 2017, but that didn't mean it started in January of 2017. It started in September according to the Jewish calendar, which means a year of Jubilee means we're still in this year. Some people, because of our calendar scenario, we think, well, that was the past, that was last year. But when you're according to the concept of understanding that this Jubilee time period, that every 50 years, according to God's word, that how He would bless the people of Israel and those that would fall then under that blessing, they would get extremely blessed. I mean, think about this again. A year in where debts are paid. How many just can think about the idea of just chew on that for a moment? Debt-free. Okay, I mean, this is something that I'm pursuing, and I've laid it before God. This was way back, as soon as I knew, hey, the year of Jubilee is coming. It's just this extra moment that God just gives above and beyond. And it was like, okay, Lord, what I'm going to shoot for is for debts to be paid, for debts to be at a place where they're not that point of hindrance. And my point, as far as bringing that up, is more a reference to, again, having a son who battled cancer for 8 years and still we got issues that we deal with him. I'm hoping for big blessings here. And you see, I have never really dealt with a year of Jubilee. It's every 50 years. And so this is my first time as I'm like, okay, God, this is a moment here that I can, I've got $90,000 in medical bills that for my son. And a lot of you understand that when you have medical bills and just ongoing issues of bills and so on, where to me, and I have no problem stating that. Yeah, I'm in debt $90,000 just in medical alone. And to me, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm going for it. This is a year to see some debt. But it's not just debt. It's not just the idea of old things are passed away, but it's really the idea that all things become new. It's this moment of looking forward to greater things to come, to understanding and knowing that God who was with me then is with me now and is going to be with me tomorrow. When we have that hope, when we have that ability to see some great things coming and yet it's not here yet, this is what drives us to that place we're saying, I'm in a new place. Now, I know many of us probably did that right at New Year's Eve, counting down, ready, okay. And you basically just went from this timeline to this timeline. And you might think, oh, I'm a new man, it's a new year. Mentally, yes, that could be, but you just literally took a step. That's all it was. And so you're the same person, but yet we're in a new calendar, we're in a new time frame, we're in a new mindset. So the idea is to really focus in, okay, Lord, if this is a new year and this is where we're going. And a lot of us make our commitments at that point. And this is what really values the idea of a new year, is not the idea that it's a calendar new year, but it's the individual making a commitment. Now, I know some people say, well, that ended 2 days ago, that new commitment. Well, that ended here. We started, I already broke it. It's like whatever it may be. But the idea is that this is what makes this moment powerful when there is a commitment saying, I'm going to do this. This is a goal. This is what I'm going to shoot for. This is what I'm going to strive for. This is where I'm going to go. This is what's going to happen. And so I'd like us to look into Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read some scripture here to see and really understand, okay, Lord, what is it that is the most important thing for us to focus on overall? What is it, God, that you have for each one of us? Because individually, we might have so many different ideas of where we want to go, what we want to do, what we want to accomplish. But primarily, there's one thing that the Lord focuses on. And if we can make that commitment to Him, again, a time of commitment, if we can make that commitment to Him, you'll see everything else that you want start coming when you focus on what He wants. And here is Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now we're going to kind of break this down here. Here, it says, let me go back to the beginning here. "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned." What he's referring to here is, he said, "Lord, you have kept what I am about to share in reference to the power of salvation. You have kept that from the wise." You see, all throughout humanity and all throughout history, those that have been educated, those that have learned, those that have had knowledge, those that have been the ability to be brilliant, they've all pursued immortality. The ability to say, "I'm going to live beyond," or "I'm going to live longer," or "I'm going to live at that level." But they've taken the approach of being educated. Now you say, "Well, is that wrong to be educated?" By no means, no. But you see, education, knowledge, the ability to be brilliant, to be a genius, really serves for one purpose. And that purpose is to gain wisdom. Because you could have all the knowledge in the world and have no wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you have obtained. So I've met many, many people that are brilliant. They're doctors, they're this, and this. They've got titles and positions and power and prestige, but yet no wisdom. And even many of them could even confess in setting where they've got even all the money in the world that they would say they're still empty. Why? Because of the use of that wisdom is what's going to apply. Now, how and what do I do with that wisdom? Here, Jesus is saying, "You kept it from the wise and you gave it to me," referring to himself. Remember, even the wise men, this is why it's so powerful, the story of the Magi, that they were the wisest. Magi, reference to the wise of the wise. And they were once searching. You would think, why would wise men be searching for a savior? If they have the knowledge, they have the ability to comprehend, they have the ability to do whatever they want to do, they have it all. Why are they still searching? But here, it's Jesus says, "You kept it from them and you gave it to me." By saying that, he is saying, in other words, there's the only way to obtain what God wants us to obtain is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Where are we going with this? Let's read on again. "No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Those whom God, Jesus, chooses. Now, hear me on this. If you continue reading, you find out that Jesus isn't kind of, you know, like a soccer game. Is okay, I pick you and I choose you and I choose you, and there's going to be some left behind. Jesus allows for us, when he chooses, that choosing is when you call out to the Lord and he says yes to you, "I choose you." Because he sees you're calling out to him. He says, "Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Those that reach out to him, and he looks and he wants to know, who is it that's going to be saved? Who is it It's those with a heart saying, Lord, I call out to you and I want you. Here, he says, look, the only way to know the Father is through me. He states that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him. And some of you are probably looking and saying, Alfred, we know all this already. But my friend, this is a new year. If you can understand this idea that if we can go and do what God wants us to do, what is the primary focus thing that he's looking for? He's looking for salvation and that none would be lost. So here we go. Let's break this down again. It says, Son, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. So how do we break that down? I think we break that down in three areas. He says, first of all, I'll give you a new yoke. Now, listen to this. This is something, because a lot of people are misled by this concept. They think if I come to Jesus, that means all my problems are going to go away. If I give my life to God, then that means everything's going to be great. No, he says, if you come to me, I will give you a new yoke, his yoke. Now, again, understanding what a yoke is this contraption that bonds two animals together, mostly like bulls or ox, and that yoke is there for the purpose so that they work together. And it is heavy. Has anyone ever picked up a yoke before for any cattle or ox or anything like? Okay, seen one, never lifted one, don't want to lift one. These things look heavy. And you imagine you putting that on this huge animal that probably it can carry it, but nonetheless it's a weight and a burden to it. But it forces those two animals to work together and to be in conjunction with each other, to work with each other all the way through. That being the case, he says, look, I will give you my yoke, and my yoke is light. He's still saying you're going to carry this weight. You're going to carry it, but it's not to the place that it's going to break you. You're still going to go through life issues. You're going to still go through life struggles. You're still going to go through what life on this earth has to offer you, but it's not going to break you. It's not going to wear you down. Let's read that again. Powerful here. That each one of us has that ability to understand that we can come to him and he will give us rest. I need a new yoke. I need a new boundary. I need a new standard. And I need a new limitation. You see, when you're yoked with God, you're at that place of, you guide me, Lord. You direct me where you want me to be and where you want me to go. My boundaries are going to be different now. A lot of people think, well, if you've got boundaries, that means you're restricted. And that's not the case at all. If you've got boundaries, you're actually the more freer person. You see, when you have boundaries in your life, you understand at what level you could go to the extreme of that boundary. With people that walk around on earth today that say, I just want to be free, no boundaries, no rules, no nothing like that. They just want to go live life thinking that's freedom. That's actually bondage. Because living in that mindset of just, I just want to be free. I just want to do my own thing. I just want to go out there. Well, without the conviction and understanding of where is the boundary, we have a tendency to have our own boundary and within our head. Let me explain it. I know I shared this with you sometimes before, but again, that there was a study on six elementary schools, and three of them removed the fence of the playground, and three of them kept the fence. The three that had the fence removed, they said to all the children, we will give you a grand prize if you go out and play, go out there and have fun, but don't pass the boundary. And they asked, where's the boundary? Because they removed the fence. Just go play. Well, where's the boundary? Just don't pass it. Well, without having a clarity of understanding, those kids where that person made the announcement, those kids played all close by because they didn't know how far they can go. There's a huge grass out there. There's a soccer field and there's a football field and there's all this out there. They could go play. Go play. No, they wanted the prize. The three that didn't, that had the boundary still there. They didn't have it removed. And they could see, well, there's the fence line, there's the boundary. They said, just don't pass the boundary. And all of these kids took off. And just like kids do, they went to the extreme of the boundary. They went to the edge. But they didn't cross the fence. They had fun. They played. They went. And when they came back, all three, they realized that the three schools with the fence line, with the boundaries, had more freedom. They were free within the boundary. Those that had no boundaries, had no rules, they constricted themselves. You see, when we put on God's yoke, Christ, we're not being shackled. We're not being slaved in the manner that we're not able to do what we want to do. When we follow His rule and follow His guidance and follow what He wants for us, it's actually more freeing. And we understand that we're able to go. We're able to have new guidelines and direction. We're able to understand where He wants us to go. And think about this. When we give our life to God, we not only get a new yoke, but we get a new master. A master is clearly someone who is one that is going to bring our overseer. No matter where you're at in life, military is probably a clear example, you're going to have an overseer. There's always somebody on top. And being the case, if we're going to have ability to choose, I would rather choose someone who's gentle and humble. I'd rather choose somebody who's going to be that role model that I want to be like. How many of us have leaders that we declare, I don't want to be like them? I've got a boss over me. I never want to be like them. I've got a relative that had authority over me. Some of us said that, oh, I don't want to be like my dad. I said that many times. Many times somebody would say to me, you're just like your dad when I was growing up. That was fighting words to me because my dad was not a good person. And there was no way I wanted to compare to him. Oh, you're just like this. No, I don't want to be that. I want to be under somebody that I want to be like. I want to be under someone that I want to, man, if I could be like them, that's what I want to do. But think about this. So He gives us a new yoke. We end up with a new master. And then here it says we have a new purpose. Think about this. We are this way in human nature that we always want to know what's in it for me. I mean, even King David did the same thing. When they found out that Goliath was mocking the people of Israel, and he came to bring food to his brothers, and he found out that this huge man was insulting, and they said, well, why don't you guys go kill him? Well, they're all afraid. And he comes to that place, and he says, well, what's in it for me if I do this? Well, you'll marry the king's daughter, and you get all this. And sure enough, he, just even naturally, a man after God's own heart, what's in it for me? What, we all are like that. Well, if I give you this, what do I get out of this? Well, here, look at the trade-off. We surrender our life to God. Again, according to what we just read here, we surrender our life to God. He says, I will give you rest. I believe rest is something that we are all fighting for. Well, this is what we work for. I'll even use this word, comfort. To this moment, since I've been up here, not one of you has completely been still. I mean, to the place where you didn't move at all. How do I know that? Because some of you have gone from this cheek to, this cheek. You've kind of stretched, you've moved, you've adjusted. Why? Because you're fighting and looking for comfort. You're looking, what do we do all week? Thank God it's Friday. Or if you've got the weekends off. You wait. What do you work for? An opportunity, just stated here, a vacation coming up. Man, and I want to go with you to Israel. you're working hard for what? So you can rest. You're working hard for what? So you can play. And it's something that each one of us are at that place where it says here, if you come to Christ and Christ is in you now, He will give you the very rest. Not only says His yoke is light, but He's kind, and He will then give you something to rest. What is all this coming to? My friend, if we could understand who we have in the beginning of this year, who is on our side, who is with us, is that the purpose for us just then just to rest in Him? No. The purpose is then for us to share about him. Because there are others. I love how you stated that as far as the embers and knowing that maybe you may not feel like you need anything, but people need something from you. I love that. That was a huge, man, that just clicked with me. How we need to understand that, yes, I need you, you need me, we work together. And as we work together, we'll see how we can make a bigger impact on those. So what is the business of life? What is life really all about? The business of life is winning souls. To win someone over to the Lord. Now, winning doesn't mean in reference to some kind of competition or some kind of race, but the ability to share Christ in such a way that that person looks at your example, listens to your words, and says, wow. You know, yesterday I had a wonderful dinner with, I even consider him like a brother to me. Now, let me tell you his story and see if how any of you guys would ever want to live his life. But his mom, when his mom was born, she was born in Georgia, not U.S., but outside of Russia. And during that time, but she was from Turkish background. And family Muslim. But because they were not Turkish and the battle with Stalin going on during that time, they took 70,000 of this group of people, Turkish in background, but not Turkish because they were born in Georgia, and because of the realignment, wanted to get rid of them. A genocide. And ended up taking 70,000 of them to Uzbekistan. 30,000 died on the journey. Mom grows up now in Uzbekistan. Her son, Biksada, who's my friend, my age, Biksada is raised and born there. Well, that now 40,000 people now has gotten to the place where some years later, there's 500,000. And I told him, oh, boy, this reminds me so much of the Bible of the people of Israel coming to Egypt and how they grew. And because in Uzbekistan and the issue there, they went from there and there were too many of them. So Russia decided that they would bring that whole clan because they had no Russian ID. Yet they were in Russia and they spoke Russian and they were part of Russian countries. And they ended up having to go then outside of Moscow and be treated there, and they had to live there, and again, as refugees now. And as refugees, they go from there, and then when the Soviet Union broke up here back in the 80s and the late 90s, everything just going, they ended up having to be refugees. And right from Moscow, straight to Salt Lake City, in the apartments where I was ministering at, they moved in, and 1 week later, I met them. And since then, we've had this relationship, this bond, this friendship. I have worked and served them throughout these years. And Biksada and his wife, his little baby was just months old, and now she's 14. And so here we are, just bonded as brothers. And he's yet as Muslim as can be. But at the same time, it's something that at his house now, he has a Christmas tree. Because my family and I are the only ones, and through our ministry, to give his family Christmas gifts. This year was the first time that he ever gave Christmas gifts to his own kids. And last night was the first time in 14 years that we had a chance to actually sit down and talk about the differences of our faith. My friends, I'm not talking about this year being a year of you going out there and just start bringing a Bible and preaching to people right in their face. I'm talking about this year being the year that we continue to share Christ in such that loving manner that people would look to each one of us and say, you know, I don't know about all this religious stuff, but I just know there's something you have I want. There's something about you that is so different. There's something about you that stands out. Can I show you? I've got a piece of paper in my wallet here. I got this old beat-up wallet that I use and I don't want to get rid of. And I got a piece of paper here that, if I can find it, because I just... pulled it out, excuse me, that I am praying. This was in October 16th, 2010. The speaker was Keith Elder. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And I was sitting there and hearing his message one time. And he said, write down five people that you know that are close to you that don't know the Lord. Fatima, Carrie, Vaha, Ruben, Bixada. The gentleman I'm just talking about. That was 8 years ago, or going to be 8 years ago. And he says, carry that, and then when they come to know the Lord, check off. None of them are checked off yet. But some of them are even family members. And Bixada, I had the pleasure last night of seeing him, having dinner with him and his family, and for the first time in all these years, had a chance to just share with them. My friend, I'm looking at this year of being a year of jubilee. Not just personal debt, not just possible finances, not just more joy in my life and more blessing that way. I'm talking about a year of jubilee of souls being saved. Let's even project and hope and thought for all of our friends that come to the fitness. Those that you have just served and served and served, that maybe this year of jubilee, which we're still in, could be that year. You know, jubilee, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there would be times where the term jubilee was used in such a manner that when there was the fishing and they would go and gather their nets and fish and they would go, that many times when sometimes there was such a school of fish that would come in and they would just got so many, so bountiful would come in, so many would come in that they would scream out, jubilee! And people, when they heard jubilee, that means like, get over here. There's so much fish. There's so many people. There's so many things. And people are just like running to it because they know God's blessing. You know, the Bible is very clear that he says, if you look out to the harvest field, you'll see that it's ripe and it's ready. It's a jubilee. This year, my friend, as we look to what's going to be happening, it's a jubilee. It's a moment for each one of us to look. You see, when Jesus called his disciples and he walked along the shore and they were fishermen, Peter, James, and John, and all these guys, their heart was to live a life and earn enough money and take care of their families and project what they wanted to do for improving their life. But then the Lord himself comes to them and he says, look, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. C.S. Lewis put it this way. The glory of God and as our only means of glorifying him, the salvation of souls is the real business of life. Those of you who may know who C.S. Lewis is, very, very popular author, Christian author. And again, the glory of God and as our only means of glorifying him, the salvation of souls is the real business of life. Let me read to you out of Ezekiel 33:11. It says this, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why shall you die, O house of Israel? James 5:20. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. There is verse after verse after verse that just goes on and saying that for us as soul winners, the ability to care about people and reach out to them. But again, it's not because of the idea that this is a competition. It's not the idea that because this is a mandate and we have to do this. It's that we get to do this. We get to share of the joy of who God is and how he's blessed us. So my challenge to you this new year, this year of jubilee still, my challenge to you is in your mind's eye right now, and close your eyes please with me, in your mind's eye, Lord, who is it? Who is it this year, Lord, that you would love for me to talk to? that you would love for me to share about who you are. God, I see them in my mind's eye right now. I close my eyes and I know your Holy Spirit is bringing that person to me. And so, God, I pray for that person right now. We're standing in the gap and we're interceding. As I hold your hand, I'm reaching out to theirs. And I'm praying, God, help them to understand who you are, to know the joy of your salvation, to understand that, yes, there is going to be issues in this life. But, Lord, because you are on our side, nothing that we ever go through, God, we won't be able to handle it. You will be able to help us through every situation. You never give us anything we can't handle. And so, God, I pray that they would call out to you in their time. Those that are searching for rest, those that are searching for peace, those that are searching, God, for healing, Lord, let them come to you. God, I thank you for this new year. I thank you for my friends here. This is a body of believers that believe in praying. And God, thank you for the answered prayers. Thank you for the prayer requests that came out. But Lord, if we could even just take a moment here and make this a prayer, a house of prayer for those that are not saved. So Lord, as we walk through our jobs, who, Lord, needs you? When we're walking through our neighborhood, who needs you? Our family members, those at school, we just lay them before you and we ask you, God, to use us as an instrument, a vessel, to use us in a means, Lord, that we could share your glory and share who you are. That this is a year of Jubilee, and I believe many will come because they get to know you. If I could be a part of that, Lord, here I am, Lord. Please use me, send me, and help me. Thank you, Lord. I want to be about what really is the business of life, and that is saving souls. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.